Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is an entrepreneur that is kicking some serious butt. He has a great business, and I feel that he's going to do some really, really big things in the next couple years. He co-founded FE International in 2010, growing the business with zero startup funds from scratch to the seven-figure business that it is today. He specializes in brokering the sale of established websites. His company also actively invests, owning and managing a portfolio of websites which generate over 100 million page views a year. He owns an iOS app with over 2 million downloads, and he has a best-selling book on Amazon. He's also got a really great British accent that I really dig. Now, let's hack Thomas Smail. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks. More than just a sponsor, FreshBooks plays a huge role in keeping me and my business organized and profitable. And this is really, really obvious to me now, having just gone through another year end. Usually the end of the year would be an incredible headache for me and my accountant, but not this year. Now, rather than handing my accountant a giant box of papers and receipts, I simply email her my reports, journal entries, and it's not only easier, but it's way more cost-effective than paying her to sort through it herself. The best part was that it was so easy to learn how to use, and whenever I've had an issue, their support team is awesome. They're voted the number one customer support team in the world. With FreshBooks support, help is forever free, and I get to speak to a real, live human every single time. Try FreshBooks for free today and for 30 days with no obligation. Setup only takes a minute, no credit card is required, and you can cancel at any time. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section when signing up. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another amazing guest today. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's absolutely my pleasure, Thomas. Let's jump right into it.
Awesome.
Thomas, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a good question. I mean, so I've been an entrepreneur for 4 years now, so developed quite a lot. But if I was to break it down to what's contributing to success, especially at the moment, we're growing a team out at the moment. We're up to 9 staff and growing. And one of the things we've been working on is nurturing the staff. We've got an international team in 3 locations now. So we want to nurture them to adhere to our values, help improve the service we offer to clients, help improve the business. We're always looking for ideas of consistently and constantly improving. And obviously, if you hire smart people, they can give you some very valuable feedback and input that you wouldn't necessarily be able to bring yourself. So that's certainly helped in, especially the last 12, 18 months. Another thing we do and have done from day one and we continue to do is we always strive to set the industry benchmark. We want to offer the very best service that no one else can compete with. And we're also, one thing I would say that especially that I've done from day one, I've always been very honest with people. I always try to give the very best advice, even if it's something that doesn't necessarily benefit us financially. And I found over the years that's created a sustainably growing business that's not reliant on kind of lying to people to get business. And it also means we get a lot of referral clients. And it also means that a lot of people that I might have spoken to 3 years ago, given good advice, they take that on board and then they come back. So yeah, being honest may kind of hurt your bottom line in the short term, but I found over time, it's only beneficial to the business.
Excellent. So I need to just push you a little bit. Is honesty and striving to be the best and setting the benchmark for the industry, that's great and fine for your business, but you, Thomas, as the person in it, do you think it's honesty that sets, is that one thing, or is it that you can see things from a big picture, or?
Yeah, I think.
What is it that you specifically, separate from your business, that you would take to another business, or that you would take to anything else you do? What is it you do?
Yeah, I think as an entrepreneur, you've obviously got to have quite a strong element of drive and commitment. So pretty much turn up to work every single day for 4 years, consistently putting the hours in, which can often separate you from competitors if they might have other commitments elsewhere. If you're there every single day, like working hard, giving good advice, obviously the advice you give has to be A, honest, but also based on expertise. So the industry we work in is relatively young in terms of the service we offer. So actually having 4 years experience is quite a lot compared to some other industries where you might have veterans of say 20 years. And a lot of it is also born through actually the service I offer is a service I would have used myself in the past. I've kind of been there and done that. And I feel that it's a lot easier to associate with clients or potential clients if you actually understand exactly what their problems are, and kind of how to solve that issue. I find it's just a lot easier to connect with people. It means if you're on sales calls, you don't really have to actually be a salesman to make sales and get deals done, because you know the problems they're going through, and you can kind of anticipate what they want to do and what's the right thing to do. So yeah, being honest is obviously important, but you've got to be honest and give the right advice at the same time. And that really just comes from, I guess, hard work, consistently doing more and more deals, always trying to improve, and reading. I read an absolute ton of industry stuff. I read books, blogs, listen to podcasts. So I'm constantly reading, even if it's not necessarily directly related to what we do. There's always something you can learn from someone else.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. I agree. The drive, the commitments, and also the honesty. And I like what you said about, we have 4 years in the industry, and to some industries, that's like nothing, right? But you're right. Like, how long have people been buying and selling websites? Like 10 years, maybe? Like,
yeah,
maybe you're at 40% of the whole lifespan of it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, some industries might not be that much, but in ours, especially as we've kind of consistently grown and improved as well, 4 years is actually, I guess, a relative veteran.
Exactly. And so if you've learned a lot in 4 years, obviously. You knew about the market before because you were in it and you were a customer in it. Mm-hmm. And now you've become an owner of a company within this market. If you could go back 4 years and start FE International today, what is one thing you would do differently?
I think from the start, one of the things I did wrong from the very beginning, and I mean, obviously, a lot of the kind of luxuries I have now, so a team is... When starting out, I was unfunded, so completely self-funded, didn't have any backers, didn't have any kind of cash in the bank. So there are a lot of restrictions you have when you start out. But I think one thing that I didn't do very well at all, and one thing that we've been working on since my new business partner joined a couple of years ago, is just consistently working on processes and systems that are repeatable. Obviously, when you're working by yourself and when you've got a small team starting out, it's quite, if you're good at the service, you can offer it. But at the stage we're at now, well, that's got to be repeated by a team. It's not just me. And to make it scalable, you've really got to like establish processes and systems from the start. It's not always that easy when you start, because obviously you don't always know exactly what you do. And it might not necessarily, the process we have now is quite a lot longer than when I started out. So that might not have been profitable.
Right.
But just working on a process and kind of consistently improving it is something we do now. And we've literally been doing it for 4 years. But I think if I had put a little bit more thought into it from the beginning, it probably would have been a little bit more scalable earlier on. Perhaps we would have been a little bit bigger today. But in general, I'd say we kind of went about it the right way. We've grown kind of slowly but surely, and we're still going in the right direction, but there's still a lot of things to do. And a lot of the things we're working on at the moment are things that could have been done earlier on in the business had I known certain things.
Yeah, fair enough. You mentioned you brought in a partner like partway through the company.
So when we started out, it was co-founded with someone else. We both had kind of quite a bit of experience buying, selling websites on the low end. And after a couple of years, it got to the stage where we both were quite similar in terms of our skill set, but we needed someone with a little bit more experience to come in, and someone who was going to be better at running. I'm very good at the service I offer, but running a company is not really my forte. So brought in a business partner who I was at university with, who's kind of runs the company now, where I do a lot of the operations and dealing with clients. So I felt that's beneficial. I think so as you grow, certain people become, get to the stage where I guess they've run their life cycle within the business, and yeah, you need to bring new people in. So as the business develops, you've also got to kind of bring in the right people. And his background was a lot more formal than mine, so I knew the industry very well, but he came from investment banking, and the service we offer, it means we can kind of do higher end deals and kind of attract a slightly different clientele that I could have done by myself.
Sounds like a super smart move. You found like your weakness, which was, say, like the running of the company, and then you found somebody to take that, the reins of that. That's brilliant, right?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the whole honesty thing.
Yeah.
A, you got to be honest with clients, but you got to be honest with yourself. There's no one out there who can do absolutely everything. So you've either got to either hire people who do have those core competences or bring in a partner. And I always find it's better to work with, I don't think I'd want to run a company by myself. I like having a partner. It's good to kind of keep you motivated, especially if you're not funded and you're kind of quite young. It's useful to have that kind of motivation that the two of you have together, rather than trying to do everything yourself, because it can, I mean, even for two of us, it can get quite overwhelming at times.
Exactly. No, it's smart. And I agree with the partnerships. I think that they're super, super essential to getting through a lot of the barriers that you have to get through at the beginning of starting a business, especially an unfunded business, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just staying motivated every day to show up and work.
Yeah, that's one thing that we definitely do. If one of us slacks off or is being lazy, then the other one's either going to pick up the slack or give the other one an earful and make sure that we're both working hard and kind of for the, I guess, the ultimate gain of the business.
Exactly. Nice. So that's a great place to segue into work then. Let's talk slacking off or not slacking off. You guys are running a fairly sizable operation at this time with lots of team members, people around the world, clients, I'm sure, based everywhere around the world. So you, Thomas, must have to wake up in the morning and get ready for a productive day. So could you walk us through, say, this morning, from the time you woke up, the first 30 minutes, the routine you have to set yourself up for that productive day?
Yeah, so, I mean, to give a bit of background, I mean, our head office is in London, but the majority of our clients are in the US or Canada. So over the years, I've probably got used to working a slightly later start than most people. But I tend to get up 7:30, 8 o'clock. The first thing I do is check my emails, and that's just either a good or a bad habit I've got in over the years. Just check if anything is urgent. At the stage we're at the business now where I guess we're mature enough where there are not enough big issues that can come up that require me instantly. A lot of the team will handle a lot of things. But just check what's coming overnight and kind of try and plan my day. And then I don't rush into work or anything like that. I mean, I live in London, our office is in central London, so it takes me about 45 minutes or so to get in. So generally on the way in, I might listen to like a podcast or read some like blogs on the way in, just to kind of get the mind going, but without being too kind of intense with work. And then I tend to start around 10 a.m., sometimes 9 a.m. And my team get in anywhere between 9 and 10, depending on the department they're in. So we start relatively late. And then in the morning, we tend to have a lot of meetings. I try and get meetings in before midday, because our clients tend to start waking up around 1 or 2 p.m. So I'd much rather get the boring internal stuff out of the way, and then concentrate on clients by the time they're awake. And then every day's different. The nature of dealing with clients, you never quite know what's going to come in and what's going to happen. But I mean, one thing I'm working on particularly in the next year is my own personal development and organization, which is definitely not a strong point for me, and getting to a stage where I'm more organized and more efficient and can kind of deal with, I guess, a huge workload that does come with running a company. And the more efficient I can be, the more people we can hire, the better our team are and the better kind of service we can offer to clients.
Okay. And I like how you said in the new year, you want to focus on personal development and your organization. This sounds like somebody who has maybe tried to like adopt a habit for organization and it hasn't worked for you. Have you tried, like, have you read like a blog on your way into work and been like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to create the one thing or the list of three things I have to do today every morning, and I'm going to be super organized. Have you tried something
Yeah, so
to get organized?
my business partner is the polar opposite of me. So I'm kind of the ADD, not particularly organized. He's the complete opposite, very organized, very disciplined. So he's got his own routines that he works with. So it's just for me, it's just really basic things like just having a to-do list and establishing priorities for the day. Obviously, with the high workload that comes running a company, if you don't prioritize what needs to be done, you don't write it down, you can either forget things, not get them done, or just generally get overwhelmed. And my solution to that in the past was just working longer hours. But I found kind of over the years that working 12, 14-hour days isn't particularly sustainable for like your health and your personal life. And it's important to kind of include both of those if you're going to actually grow a company successfully. So I probably don't work as many hours as I did in the past. But yeah, no, really just working on just basic things like to-do lists. I don't necessarily have any particular productivity plan I'm following. So I'm just going to see how things go. But I mean, hopefully see some improvements quite early on and then maybe move to some more formal framework that I might get from a blog or a book or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. Does it ever drive you nuts working with or partnering with somebody who's the exact polar opposite of you?
I mean, I think for the business, it's been a massive benefit because he brings a lot to the table that I don't, and vice versa. I mean, we do have a reasonable amount of conflict, and I think a lot of that is we're obviously both driven to grow the company, but we do have slightly different personalities. I mean, we share some traits, but he doesn't like the fact that I'm disorganized, and sometimes I struggle with the whole organization thing. So it does create a bit of a clash. But I mean, I think what it creates is different skill sets that we don't have, which helps the business. And it also means you spend a lot of time kind of back and forth on issues, and we get to a good kind of middle ground. We tend to be quite good at decision making between the two of us, just because we both tend to have quite different viewpoints. But more recently, we've focused on trying to separate our roles a little bit, so we both have responsibilities. Because you tend to find that if you've got two at the top, like you spend a lot of time kind of back and forth on stuff that could really just be done without by one person. So we're getting more efficient internally just by separating out internally and just kind of, I guess, trusting each other to do what we're good at rather than firing back and forth decision-making on minor things.
Nice. Yeah, I've dealt with that myself. It's hard when you don't completely separate roles because it's true. It's almost like both of you are doing everything.
Yeah.
Because the one person's doing it, but then they're looking for your approval and input on everything. It's like, well, I can only do half the stuff now because I'm looking at yours the other half of the time, and it doesn't really double your productivity, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. If anything, it decreases your productivity. But I mean, we've known each other for nearly nine years. So we're good friends as well. So it's not like it's just business. So we know each other and we know how the other one works. And while we may frustrate each other, I think that it does work out eventually.
Yeah. Could you tell me about, say, a big business decision you guys have had to make? Like, let's say, I call them projects but things that you want to, like a new service or something you want to adopt into your business, a new feature, new benefit you want to provide to your customers, say. I'm sure lots of these ideas come up in the day-to-day or else customers tell you ideas. How would you and your partner go about deciding what is something you should actually take on and put into your business and what is something you should just ignore?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's, I guess, one of my biggest downfalls. I'm probably the ideas guy. I've got pages and pages and pages of ideas that I come up with all the time. And if anything, over the years, what we've actually done is when he first joined, we had various side incomes, other projects that weren't necessarily within our core competence. So what we've almost done is cut it down to a single service, which is kind of our most profitable. So one of the first ways we made that decision is, we're an established enough company and we make enough money where at the end of the year, we can see how much each element of the business has made us and how much kind of time and effort that involves. There can be some things on the outset or the outside look quite profitable, but in reality, they've actually been a massive time drain. So we look at it from a financial perspective and also just kind of when I started out, I was very much looking short term. It's kind of like, how do I pay the rent out of pay the bills, how do I kind of just getting from day to day? But we're at the stage now where it's very much taking a forward-looking approach. So we're trying to be, where do we need to be in 3 years, 5 years, maybe even 10 years time? So what do we need to be working on now that can get us to that level? And if it's not something that's going to help us get there, even if it might be profitable in the short term, we just don't do it. We're not at a stage in the company where we require lots of side income streams to pay the bills. So I guess it's quite a nice position to be in. And it means we can really focus and kind of double down on what we do and what we do well, rather than getting distracted, which is very much one of my downfalls. So trying to just stay focused and just really only working on projects or income streams that help us get to where we want to be in the future, rather than what might make us 20,000 by the end of next month, but then is dead. So it does mean giving up what could be quite profitable cash flows in the short term, but it kind of helps us stay on track. And obviously, as we have a growing team, it's important they stay focused on the end goal. We don't really want to distract them. We don't really want people, well, we do want people with various skills. We don't want people learning and kind of spending all their time learning something that's just going to be a short-term benefit to the company. We really want everyone kind of growing and learning about what we do and what we're going to be doing in a few years' time, rather than what we're doing this month and then changing it the month after. It may work. As a business owner, it's okay, but as employees, they want to come in and know what they're doing every day. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily benefit from the, I guess, chaos of various projects that maybe I might quite enjoy. But in reality, it's not particularly productive if you've got a team. They need to have a clear kind of goal and clear tasks. So yeah, I mean, it's very much been a combination of financial and just future looking. Like, where do we need to be? What should we be doing? What's going to help us get there? And then anything else we just ignore. We don't really take on any side projects at all anymore. Have in the past, but I found just focusing on one thing, especially in the competitive industry we're in, it's better to improve what you've got rather than kind of losing track of that just to chase a new kind of shiny object, which I know a lot of, especially when I started out, was something I did probably more than I should.
Yeah, totally. We've all done that at some point or another. So I like how you want to have this clear vision of where your business is going to be in 3, 5, 10 years. This means that you're going to have an excellent answer for my last question for you. Where or what are you guys going to, or what are your goals to accomplish as a company and you personally, Thomas, in the next year?
Yeah, so I think as the company grows, I think one of the things we've tried to work on is when the company started out, the company was very much about me. People knew who I was. Chances are they'd deal with me. So as the company grows, one of the important things to do is while growing myself kind of internally and as a productive person and still kind of at the kind of a figurehead of the company or whatever you want to call it with my business partner, we want the company to grow itself. It's not necessarily about us anymore. We've got staff who are kind of relying on us. They've got like kids, mortgages to pay, careers to develop. We've got quite a young team. So we're very conscious of the fact that we want them to improve and the business to kind of grow with it. So we're very much kind of focusing on getting the company to a stage where we keep growing. I mean, at the moment, we're growing quite sustainably. It's quite a difficult industry to predict going forward just because there are so many changes. It's not a particularly mature industry and there aren't necessarily any, I guess, competitors who are 5 years ahead of us to copy. So we've got kind of similar industries in mind that we can kind of mirror and try and kind of get to that level. But at the moment, especially from my side, it's very much more of the same. We've got so many things internally that can still be improved and got better. So I think we've probably got another 2 years of just internal improvement to be as efficient as we can, making sure we've got good processes, good systems, and then we can scale and then keep growing with the industry. And I mean, we're at the moment, we're very much one of the leading firms in the industry. So we're quite influential in terms of, I guess, what we do can have quite a big effect on the market in general. So if we go in a certain direction, then others, I guess, could follow. So it's very much kind of an ongoing journey. It is quite difficult to see where we're going to be in 5 years' time. But I feel like what we're doing at the moment is the right thing. People like us, people refer more business to us. We're growing pretty much 100% year on year. So it's kind of more of the same, but a kind of a focus on the company and the team internally rather than myself personally. It's obviously important that myself and my business partner continue to develop, but it's not really all about us anymore. It's about the team, I guess the company and also the industry, which is really just something we're trying to improve and make it a little bit better for everyone.
Smart. I like it, Thomas. Well, we've heard a lot about you. We've heard a lot about your company, but can you specifically tell the listeners where they can go find out about you and your company, sir?
Yeah. So the best way to find us, if you go to our website, which is feinternational.com, you can, if you're looking to buy a website, you can navigate to that side of that page. You sign up to our buyer list and you can kind of get an idea of the kind of businesses we're selling or have sold. If you want to sell a business, you can go on there. It's quite easy to navigate to the seller page. One thing we're working on quite heavily in, well, back in the 2012 and 2015 is content. So we've also got a blog, which is going to be quite active. So you can either subscribe to the blog, read that. We have an ebook for buyers, and we're working on a kind of similar level of education for sellers. And then if you go on there, if you want to learn a little bit more about me or the team, you can just go to the About Us page. We've got pretty good bios and nice pictures of everyone. You can find us on LinkedIn or Twitter and kind of get in contact. If you want to get in contact with me directly, it's just thomas@feinternational.com. I'm pretty responsive on email, so if you've got any questions, mention that you heard me on the podcast, and I'd be more than happy to get back to you, even if it's not necessarily related to a service. So I'm sure I can kind of point you in the right direction. So yeah, that would be how to get hold of us.
Excellent. I will post all those links on the show notes for everyone so they're easy to find. And yeah, make sure to drop Thomas an email telling him you heard him on the show. Thomas, thank you very much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. And please keep doing what you're doing because it's really awesome to watch.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your time.
Thomas, thank you. That was a fun conversation. I'm glad we got to connect and I'm glad we got to share your story and what you've been up to, because I think it's going to be beneficial to a lot of people. Thomas said a lot of stuff. He said a lot of cool ideas. I've got some really interesting notes here and I'll put them onto the site for you to check out. But he said one thing, didn't he? There's always that one thing, and Thomas really did hit it well. Did you hear it? Did you get it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
There's no one out there who can do absolutely everything. So you've either got to either hire people who do have those core competences or bring in a partner.
And that's the hack. Thomas, thank you. So well said. I not only agree with you, but I actually live by this rule. And I struggled by myself for a long time trying to get things going, for years actually, until I got my first business partner. And it was excellent because he was good at things, or he is good at things that I am not good at. I was good at things that he wasn't good at. And not only that, but it's harder to just slack off and not do anything when the other person's working. And then it's harder for them to just slack off when I'm working. So it works really well. And it's hard sometimes to get your head around the fact that, okay, but then I got to share the profits or the business or whatever. But I've said this time and time again, and I'll continue to say it, because I would rather have part of something than absolutely all of nothing. And I tried for years to get something going myself. And maybe some people can, but partners are big. I mean, I have the co-founder series once because co-founders are massive. Co-founders are such a big part of business because it really does. When I created Velocity Page, I wanted to partner with the people because not only do you avoid the upfront cost, but also you get a lot better work from people when they are incentivized for the product to be really, really good, because then they make money off the business. It's smart. And Thomas, I think that it is something that if you are stuck in that, and if you have an idea, you don't have to partner with somebody in everything you do. Everything you kind of do, an idea or something you want to take to market, a service or an idea or a product or a podcast or anything, you can partner with people to do these things. It cuts your workload in half and it really does put you into like a mastermind situation where you get way more done and you don't have to do all of it. Thomas, thank you. That was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. And I really, as I said in the introduction to you, I really, not that you haven't done amazing things, you have a business that's doing seven figures, but I just have this feeling about you. You've got a lot of stuff sorted out. You have good ambition and you know your weaknesses as much as you know your strengths. And I really honestly think you are going to do some amazing things in the coming years. And I look forward to seeing it. So again, this has been a lot of fun. As always, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You're going to see a lovely picture of me right at the top of that screen with a place to put your email right beside it. You should do that. I would love to be able to email you this Sunday. And I'm really enjoying the newsletter. I'm working on it hard. I'm putting a lot into it. It's the real true writing that I'm doing once a week. And I'm pretty proud of it. It's fun. It's cool. And it gives you access to me because it gives you a place to reply and say hi. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you're working on. I got like 26 or something emails last Sunday from people back telling me what they are working on in the coming months. And it's amazing what you people are up to out there. It's inspiring. And it's kind of just kicking me in the butt to really step up my game too. It's awesome. I love it, guys. So please do that. Hacktheentrepreneur.com and drop your email into that to get onto my newsletter. And we'll be in contact. So thank you, Thomas. Thank you out there listening. I truly appreciate it. There's so many of you out there. I'm getting so many emails and feedback, and I truly do appreciate it. So thank you very much. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.